Welcome to Teaching Restored, where we get to talk about all the great things there are about teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am excited for today. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Kev. How's it going?
Oh, wonderful. Anytime we can talk about the scriptures and about teaching, I'm good. But I got to tell you, there is a particular way I love to be taught from the gospel, period. And that way is to have someone, for example, this may not be in a lesson. It may not be, or it may be in a lesson. It may be at the pulpit. It may be in a group setting where, you know, a small group setting, but they've got the scriptures. I love the paper scriptures. I'm a huge fan of paper scriptures. I know.
You like paper?
I love, well, it's not just so much paper, but it's that, I don't know. For me,
it's
It is. Yeah, that's right. As I turn them and that wind goes on my face or what, I don't know what it is, but I love the scriptures themselves in my hands and I love diving in that way and really diving in, not just, let's read the scripture. What did you learn about it? You know, that's good. That's good. But when someone is skilled enough to really dive in and bring out insights that I had never considered before and leave me walking away going, holy cow, I want to dive in more myself. That is my favorite. And I don't see it very often.
Don't you think? Well, exactly. You don't see it very often. And then it also makes me go, what else am I missing? Like, if I can get that out of that one scripture, what the heck else am I missing? And it makes me want to dig even deeper. And I actually remember the first time, and this is going to sound crazy, but the first time somebody did that effectively for me, I remember that lesson. Like the exact one where I, for the first time in my life, I was like, there is more to unpack. And it was like the spirit kind of went, and my mind was just exploding with possibility. And I mean, it's crazy because I was actually in my early 40s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
It
would have been late 30s. It was, but
oh, well, that's better. Okay.
I was a full adult. Like, I was not even a teenager. I'm sure it happened once in a while then, but like whole new level. And so this is something that I think we underestimate the power of.
Yeah. You know, actually, I was about to tell a story. I'm going to wait for the story because I want to bring in Callie Black. And Callie, hello, Callie.
Hello.
We are very excited to have you. She's going to teach us all about how to teach in the scriptures, using scriptures. Because, okay, now I'm going to tell the story real quickly. Because, Julie, your experience just reminded me of this. We were doing a ward missionary lesson. And I was teaching the youth, and it was in our home, and they're all sitting on the couch. I said, all right, get your scriptures out, get your paper scriptures out, because I love paper scriptures. Get your scriptures out. And we started going through it, and I grabbed one scripture, and I would go, I don't want to say I'm famous for this, but in my little circle of family and friends, I'm famous for, okay, will you read the scripture? They say three words and I say, stop. Okay, what did you really say there? And then three more words, stop, right? And then really dive in. And by the end, someone said, I didn't know there was so much in the scriptures. I didn't know you could pull that much out. And so I love that. And Callie, you do so much with scriptures, like just one scripture a day. We'll talk about that. But introduce yourself, if you wouldn't. Tell us about your teaching and your diving into the scriptures.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to be here. I have an Instagram account called Come Follow Me Study. But before that, I got my education degree from BYU. I was also raised in just a family of teachers and grandparents who were teachers. Like I've been a teacher my whole life in many ways and shapes, and got my education degree, and I started teaching middle school English, and I live in Arizona, and I started learning a ton about reading comprehension, because sixth grade is like a really big transitional year of these kids have to learn how to really
Sure.
understand what they're reading. And so that's what my professional training was on, was like, how do you get people to actually understand and connect with their text? I left the classroom a few years later, but I've been teaching in church classrooms ever since. And I just started making these connections of like, you know what? I think we all see that we can use room for improvement in our church teaching abilities. And I think a lot of my middle school co reading comprehension training can actually translate to how we teach with the scriptures. And it sounds weird. It sounds really weird. But I've been teaching youth Sunday school for years now. It's my jam. I love it so much, being with these kids. And it is so important to teach them scriptures. So I get to do that in my calling, in my real life, but also on the internet. I get to share lots of insights on Come Follow Me Study. I create little weekly videos, Big Picture Monday, where I'm giving you the story version of what's going on so that you can feel a little more free to dive into what the words are about. I also have the podcast 1 Minute Scripture Study, with our books, 1 Minute Scripture
Wow.
Study as well, where we like to focus on. I have an amazing co-host, Kristen Walker Smith, and we focus on just like simple applications of the scriptures. And really, everything I do is, can we make these scriptures come alive, Kevin? Just like you were saying, like, can we make people be like, yes, there is something in these scriptures that I want to be in more often. And I think that's so important.
That's great. Now, I said something a couple episodes ago, and I'm going to take it back. And what I said
Oh.
a couple episodes ago was nothing good comes out of middle school, but I guess something does now. There is something good that comes out of middle school. I'm so glad to hear that. So thank you for correcting me on
Middle
that.
school is a crazy time. I will give you that. It is insane out there, but I also weirdly connected with that age level. I don't know. I
I
guess
can
I'm crazy
understand
too.
why.
So.
Yeah.
Well, I can understand why, Kevin. What? You can understand. You can, I was like, what are you saying? But you know what? I've decided that I like to be taught like a middle schooler. You know,
Right.
there's like this meme
Yes.
of you want to be talked to like you're, you know, an adult and can understand things, but you also want people to break it down for you a little bit. And they still have to entertain you just a tiny bit because you still have a little bit of ADHD in you. And so
So
I
true.
actually love that you're going back to the skill of reading comprehension or those skills and saying, wait a minute, that applies to teaching throughout the church.
Yeah. And I
That's
find
really
that,
awesome.
like, so often in church, someone has prepared a lesson and they have studied up all on Joseph Smith's time in Liberty Jail and they know all the details or whatever. And so then they come to this class and they're like, all right, we're talking about Liberty Jail. What are your Liberty Jail moments? And you have a lot of people in that classroom who are like, what is Liberty Jail? What, I need a reminder. Maybe I've learned it 10 times, but like you're just throwing this at me. I don't know where we're coming from. And then we're like, my class doesn't answer questions, right? Like we as teachers
Right.
are getting frustrated when we're just kind of throwing this stuff. So, Julie, I just agree 100%. I think we all want to be taught like sixth graders, really. And then we can dive in at different levels. But like there's some sort of like, here, let me hold your hand a little bit to make sure we're understanding what's going on. And then the spirit can just come in and like take you wherever you need to go instead of only teaching to the people who already know the scriptures in your class.
Well, you just described what I feel like. I feel like I sit at the beginning of class sometimes because I don't know, I just don't have a great memory. And I have a lot of information in there. I have studied so hard, not when I was younger, as I just threw myself under the bus for, but like as I've been, you know, an older adult even, I've really found this love and passion for the scriptures. But my memory's not great. And so I'll sit at the beginning of a class and I'll be grappling trying to remember the context. So hard that I can't even think through what the teacher is actually trying to teach. So when you said that, you know, it's really important to kind of clear that obstacle out of the way at the beginning. I really resonate with that. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, and that actually was my first principle I was going to teach, so we can just dive
Oh,
in there, is that
okay. Well, that
dive
was
in, girl. I
smooth.
love
Well
it.
done.
Thanks for
Way to
sticking to the
go.
script there. No, not at all. That was great. is that like we have to give context. We have to set the scene. And Julie, you are not alone by even a small margin. There are so many people who walk into these classes who want to love the scriptures, and even our youth who are like, I want to be all in. And then people start throwing these names and places and scripture references around. And you guys all know the third article of faith, right? And our brains just go, bah! I'm the dumb one. I'm the only one who doesn't understand. And so I think as teachers, when we stop and we say like, let's build that context first. If I'm going to talk about Liberty Jail, I'm going to talk about the chaos that was going on in Missouri that was happening right beforehand. I'm going to talk a little bit about what Joseph Smith has experienced. And this can be done in like 2 minutes. It doesn't have to be like a doctorate level introduction. It can be if you're into that, like go for it. But if you're like, that scares me as a teacher, keep it simple, right? Just like scratch the surface, but give them some sort of lean in. In the education world, we call that scaffolding and giving context, where you're not like, hey, let's talk about bridges, write an essay about bridges. It's like, hey, let me show you pictures of bridges. Let me ask you if you've ever been to a bridge. What's the coolest bridge you've ever seen? Do you know how bridges are built? Let me show you this. Okay, now you're going to write an essay about bridges. And you're ready because your brain is like, I've been thinking about bridges. And so when we're in these Sunday school or seminary or wherever you're teaching avenues, and we say, let's build up to where I want to be. Let's take my class on a journey from, I just got out of a chaotic sacrament meeting or whatever, and I'm chasing my kids around and I didn't really do the come follow me reading, or I did, but it was 3 days ago, wherever everyone's at, like bring them in, put them on the same level and scaffold up to here's where we're at. And you're going to find that everyone is bought in because everyone feels empowered. Like, I get it. I get what's going on. And I'm so excited to now dive into the scriptures because I don't feel dumb. I feel empowered and like I want to be there. And I think empower is one of my biggest words that I do like keep in mind with everything I do, is how can I empower other people to feel confident enough to be in the scriptures and to want to be there.
I love the visualization of bringing everyone to the same level. Kelly, yep. My wife was just teaching seminary and teaching about Gibberty Lael. Like that one?
That's a new one. I don't know that one.
Wow. Rindersella back again. That was funny. Okay. Gibberty Lael. And she came every day she comes in, we talk about how the class went. She goes, and at first it was, I don't want to say no, but like half the kids didn't know about, I did it again, Liberty Jail. I don't know what's going on. What my happening? Man, I don't know. Wow, that's incredible. My mind is just going so fast. It can't keep up.
There you go.
Anyways. So half the class didn't. I thought, you know what? These are freshmen and sophomores, which means they're 15, which means that last time they were introduced to this stuff, they were 11. And how many 11-year-olds really tried to understand Liberty Jail or really even remember anything about that? So of course they wouldn't know much about this unless they're, you know, maybe their families dove in or they remember something about it. But so many times, and then when you're teaching a Sunday school lesson, how many people are new members and have never heard about Gibberty Lael? Right?
Help us, Callie. This ideal is every week.
I know.
Every week. Yeah. Okay, so I have to add something to this. I'm learning something, and this will appeal to the nerdy teacher in you. My daughter has dyslexia. And what she's working on right now, she takes a special dyslexia class and they're breaking down reading. But one of the parts of reading that I didn't really, and she's a freshman in high school. Okay. One of the parts of reading that I never understood the value of is called concept imagery. And it's basically the movie in your mind. And how I didn't really even think about just how powerful that is, because it happens naturally in my brain when somebody is building. You know, like I'm reading something, I can build this movie in my mind. And I've been sitting in on some of her classes where they're breaking down the steps for doing it. And it literally is like what you're talking about. That part of that scaffolding is you giving people the ability to picture in their mind what this must be like, so that they can almost, like, you can't in abstract apply something to yourself that you don't almost have a visual picture of in your mind. You have to be able, and the details of that picture come down to things like, well, what do you, when you're thinking about this, what are you picturing Joseph Smith's posture to be like while he's in Liberty Jail? What do you picture, you know, and breaking down some of those details that add so much emotion and life to it. And so it, can you go into just for, I know you're probably, you have several points to make, but I think that this part of it is so valuable. What is enough? Because you said you can do it in a short period of time, or you can, you know, doctor it out, but what's enough? Like, what are you trying to accomplish with the context besides just removing obstacles? And how do you know enough is enough?
Yeah, well, when you're teaching a class, you have a huge variety of starting points, right, in your classroom. And yeah. So I don't think we can't, as teachers, take on that I'm going to get everyone with the exact context that they need. But for me, I just think about, on average, where my learner's at. If I walk into an adult classroom, like teaching adults, I'm going to give a little bit less context. I'm going to, I mean, I'll still give the context. I love telling stories. That's my favorite way to teach, but I'll dive into it. I do like to assume that there are a few people who are not members or are new members in my classroom. And I feel like that kind of grounds me in like how much context I do need to give. I can't tell them everything about Joseph Smith. I can't tell them everything about Missouri, but I can take them from, hey, it was chaotic in Missouri. They gave themselves up to the state militia. They took them here. Imagine what their families are going through in occupied Far West right now. Like, I can walk them through the key moments. When I teach teens, I really like to get them in the emotional place. So I'm not just going to be like, Liberty Jail, here's the context. It's like, I want them to feel, imagine that you were taken, and imagine that all your loved ones are in a military occupied town with probably some actually terrible things happening, and you have no mm-hmm. way to contact them. And I build the emotional layers to get them in the place mm-hmm. where when we look at the scriptures, it makes sense because they're in that same emotional standpoint. And maybe it's not a deep, sad story like Liberty Jail, right? We can also talk about right. Nephi leaving, and it's like this exciting time or this nerve-wracking time. I just want them to feel the emotion before we get to the scripture, so they're in that right place. So I just say, like, as much as you feel like you need to get to that emotional state.
I love that. Specifically with teens, even. I think that's good coaching.
Yeah.
And so the emotional side, I think of a movie itself, right? So many movies are aiming for the emotional state, but at the same time, I have seen people kind of go overboard in the emotion, and it becomes more emotion than it does spirit. So I think there's a caution there at the same time, but I'm 100% on board with you. How do you get, because seeing a picture is one thing, but understanding it emotionally and saying, oh, they couldn't stand up straight in the jail, and you're bent over for how many year or how many months, and the stench and the, you know, the food, and you keep going with that. And then you start realizing, oh yeah, I've never experienced anything like that. And nor do I want to, but if I did, wow, kind of thing. And not everything is as dramatic as Liberty Jail, but that's, you know, a great example of that.
Right. And to your point, I agree. I think emotion for the sake of emotion or shock value is something we need to make sure to stay away from. But if it leads to the scriptures, that's like, that's the meat of it, right? It's I'm going to wrap it in this emotion to just get everyone on the same page. But then we're going to lead to the scriptures. And that's why the scriptures are so important, is because if we leave that out, we're just going for the emotions and the shock value, and that's going to fade, you know, years down the road. Yeah. It's not going to stick in someone's mind, or it is, and for like bad reasons. And they're going to feel like, wait, I wasn't actually getting doctrine there. But if it's, hey, here's the emotion. Now let's give you real meat. Let's give you pure scriptures, pure words from the Lord. And I'm going to see how that fits in with the emotion. Then that is like so nourishing on a spiritual level. It's so motivating, just like as the stories you guys told earlier. That's what gets you like, yes, I love the scriptures. I'm here. Yes.
That's a great way
I love
to
it.
give that as an example and explain that. Thank you. I love that. That's good.
Yeah,
Okay,
keep going, man. I
can I
want
share another one? Okay.
Yeah.
This one
Yeah, I love
is a little more I feel like common, but I think we can maybe up the ante in how we're doing it, and that is to give some sort of purpose to the scriptures that we're reading.
that.
I'll
Okay.
often see this in classrooms where, like church classrooms, where it's like, okay, I see a teacher who has really good intentions. They want to get their kids in the scriptures or the adults in the scriptures. And they're like, okay, let's open up to D&C 58, 26 through 27. And as we read, look for what the Lord says or something. Like they like say something. And I'm like, you're almost there. You're so close. You've got it. Like so close. And then the kids read the scripture. And then that's it. Or it's like, well, what did the Lord say? And it's like the kids aren't responding because we're not really sure what we're connecting to, right? And I feel like we maybe have an understanding that we should say something. We should give them something to do when we're about to read. And I think we can maybe do a little better at it. I like to always think about when you're shopping for a new car, as soon as you start researching a car, you then see that car everywhere on the road, right?
True.
You're like, should we get the Odyssey or the Sienna? Oh, I see Odysseys everywhere now. Like, I guess that's the sign. That's what we're going to do. And it's because you are looking for evidence of other people using Odysseys, right? Like, guess what van we have?
Yes.
It's a good
That's
man.
what we use.
Used to. Used to.
It's great. It's the best. And so with the scriptures, the problem is that reading or hearing someone read something is one of the most passive forms of learning possible. When someone gets up and they just start reading scriptures, our brain usually has no incentive to actually listen.
Right.
And we can tell it's not a natural story that someone's telling. If someone's telling a story, I'm invested. You don't need to sell me on anything. I'm there. I am there and I'm listening because I don't know what's going to happen next. But when I have someone stand up and they start saying, "But verily I say unto you that it is not needful for this whole company of my," right? Like there's
Falling
no
asleep.
incentive, no incentive to listen. And for some reason, when we have either quotes or scriptures that are just being read out loud, our brains go, this is not important. I am not invested in what is actually being read. So, if we are going to read something out loud, we need to make that investment interesting. It needs to be, okay, as we're reading these scriptures, I want you to look for the answer that the Lord gives these saints for how they're going to get relief from their suffering. Oh, okay. I'm a little more invested in that. And maybe it's even, because we all go through our own suffering as well. And I know that you want relief from your suffering. So let's see what the Lord would probably tell you in the exact same situation. What does the Lord say is the answer to relief from suffering? Let's look in the scriptures. Let's
There we
open up
go.
to this verse and read it. And everyone's invested because they want to know how to find relief from suffering, not just because you posed a question, but because it feels personal. It feels like, I want to know. I'm desperate. And it sets up the scriptures as the answer. We're pointing to the
Sure.
scriptures as the source of authority. It's like, hey, you want answers? You open up this book. That's where you get the answers. You don't listen to me. I'm just the teacher that's going to show you how to get into the scriptures, but I'm not the one you want to listen to. There's not some podcast that you need to go listen to get the answers. You need to be in the scriptures yourselves, and that's where you get the answers. And so I feel like giving that purpose, making it real and intentional, not only works for reading comprehension, but it also sets up the scriptures as the answer, which I think is our ultimate goal as gospel teachers, anyways.
Yeah. So you just brought up two things I want to point out that hit me pretty hard that I thought was fabulous. Number one, I think you articulated what everyone feels, but I don't think we recognize that, right? When someone reads, it's so passive. And I'm like, well, duh. Oh, yes, it is. Of course it is. And when you said that when someone reads, our mind just kind of turns off. I recognize that. I totally do that all the time. That all is, time.
Yeah.
It is so natural for me. And I've even thought about it and felt badly about it, but don't know how to change it. Right? It's like, oh yeah, you're going to read. And I'm like, whatever. And it just,
and we love the scriptures. Like, it,
I know,
loving the scriptures. It's just bad for our brains.
Yes. It's brain rot. Why is that? That's really interesting. Anyways, but your way of turning it into not being brain rot, turning it to, no, this is actually something for you. I love that. And then you gave, Julie and I talk a lot about, it's not about the teacher. It's about the Lord and your relationship with the Lord and connecting you with the Lord and the Spirit being the teacher in there, right? And I think you gave a great example of that, of setting that stage, and all you're doing is pointing to the scriptures. I think where a lot of disconnect in the past may have been with some teachers is that, what am I pointing them to? Well, I'm pointing them to what I say, because I'm teaching them. No. Where are you pointing them to? The scriptures. That's why it's so important to use the scriptures, or else you're kind of pointing it to you, because you are the one doing the teaching at that point. So that's what clicked in my mind as you said all that. And I loved it. Thank you.
Awesome. I have a question. Do you actually plan that as part of your lesson? Do you say, okay, when I get to this passage of scriptures, here is the purpose that I'm going to kind of outline? Like, is that part of your preparation?
Yes, that is part of my preparation. And that is the biggest part of my preparation, is picking what scriptures I'm going to use. How am I leaning into it? Like, how am I giving that scaffolding that purpose? And then also what I'm going to ask about it afterwards, like how I'm going to discuss it. That, if I can plan those throughout my lesson, I can weave it with anything else. I could, like, it's very easy to tell a personal story or share a quote or all the other stuff that we put in lessons. But if I for sure intentionally plan those out. Now, the cool part is when we come intentionally planned, then I feel like the Spirit has more stuff to work with, where the Spirit's like, actually ask this question that you didn't plan, or, you know, go to this scripture. But like, if I show up not super prepared with ideas of how I'm going to do it, then I struggle. It doesn't come that way. But if I come up and plan, it either happens how I've planned it, or it happens totally differently in the best way possible.
Can you tell me a little bit about how your mental process works and your preparation for that? Because I think that sometimes people are a little bit intimidated when it comes to Come Follow Me specifically, because like, there is so much to cover, especially if you're covering 2 weeks worth of Come Follow Me in the class, you know, on a Sunday. And so they have a really difficult time kind of deciding where to spend their time, and the preparation is tough. And so I can see a teacher, for example, saying, I want to make sure that I read these scriptures. So you're thinking in your mind, I want to make sure, because these are so touching, or these are so impactful, or whatever. Can you walk through a little bit of your mental process for saying, okay, here's how I think of it? Like, are you taking how they hit you first and leading people into that? Or are you trying to anticipate the needs of your classroom? Like, tell me just your framework for that prep.
Sure. Yeah. So I take whatever the assigned reading is, and I make sure to be in the scriptures first, and I have to study them for myself first. And as I'm doing that, I'm of course taking note of what stands out to me, right? The impressions I'm getting, what lessons I'm getting. And sometimes it's the famous scripture that I'm like, I am just still in that famous scripture, and I could talk about 1 Nephi 3:7 all day long. And like, that's great. And other times it's this random line where I'm like, this means nothing to anyone else, but this just changed my life, or that just gave me the impression that I need. So I always start with, like, on an airplane, you put your own mask on first before you put it on someone else. I've got to love the scriptures and learn from them for myself first, before I then think about the class I'm going to teach. So once I do start to think about them, then it's, okay, what would be applicable? For me, I'm teaching 16 through 18 year olds. And so there's some things as a parent that I'm like, you know what, that's not something that's going to resonate with them. But there's other times where it's like, you know what, that was so impactful to me. I just want to authentically share an example where the spirit taught me something, and it doesn't have to apply to them other than you're going to see that the scriptures can change your life. And like, that's a powerful enough lesson. That's the most powerful lesson, actually. And so I just kind of think through that. I let it, I think that time is the biggest way for the spirit to work on our mind. So I am a procrastinator to the biggest degree. But when I'm planning church lessons, I've learned I have to give the spirit time. I have to give it time to like work in my brain and be like, actually, that scripture that I wrote off before could work. Anyway, so I come up with kind of my core lesson idea. What sometimes it's like I have a full lesson about peace in Christ, and we are going to dive into all these different scriptures about peace in Christ, and I'm all in on this. And other times it's, you know what, I'm going to do a little like 10-minute mini lesson on tithing, and I'm going to 10-minute mini lesson on the name of the church. And sometimes I split it into smaller sections. So it just kind of sees, it depends on how my lesson is flowing and what scriptures I'm into. And then I focus on, okay, well, which verses am I going to pull that we're going to dive into? How am I leading into that? What are we doing with the actual scripture? What are we doing after? And then I can fill it in with all the extra stuff, activities. You know, you got to get their attention. You got to have fun. You got to tell stories, all that other stuff that goes in there. But I use my scriptures as my core anchors for sure.
Awesome. And I love that you kind of, I think everybody does it a little bit differently. So I always like to hear people's process for it because there are little nuggets I think that we can glean from how other people do it to improve how we do it ourselves. So fantastic. That's great.
Yeah, my brain loves to be organized.
I like it. I like
So
it.
that's how I plan. Okay, should we do another suggestion?
Yes, please.
Okay, this one is like more practical. And that is, this is really leaning into reading comprehension here. When we read scriptures, we need to choose a selection of scriptures that is realistic. And by that I mean short enough and meaningful enough to have everyone's attention in class.
Good.
Sometimes we go too long. I would say often we go too long and we say, look at this list of spiritual gifts that's 14 verses long. Let's read it. Okay, everyone in a
Take
row,
turns.
you each take a verse and you read it. And guess what happens to every person? You're counting
La,
ahead
la,
to the verse that you are supposed to be reading, and you're focused on how nervous you are for reading that verse. You're not paying attention to what anyone else is saying. And then you read your verse, and you're nervous about the words that you mispronounced, and then you're relieved afterwards. So, can we stop fooling ourselves that we should still keep doing this? Because everyone has the same experience with these long
Yes.
chunks of
Drives me crazy.
scriptures.
Yes.
I learned, this is back in at BYU in my education classes, to never have kids do that, where it's like read a paragraph at a time, or even to do popcorn reading, where it's like you read a verse and then you call on someone else. It literally only produces anxiety and it does not produce reading comprehension. So if your goal is to get through the scriptures, go for it. If your goal is to understand and connect with the scriptures, never do that again, ever.
Toss the idea.
And what you're going to do feels wrong. But I promise it's right. And that is, you ask confident readers to read the whole section. You ask for volunteers. Maybe you read it yourself. Maybe you say, everyone look at your own scriptures and you read these verses on your own. And when you're done, look up at me so that I know you're all done. So you have some sort of like signal to know that everyone's done. You're not gonna try and get everyone involved in the reading of the scripture. That's not where you want it. You want confident readers with good expression and like we're gonna read it well, even if that means you as the teacher reads it, and you want everyone to have access to their own scriptures. Now, Kevin, I'll just say I love the Gospel Library app. I'm a big fan of the Gospel Library app. I love it. I use it in my teaching. My kids are good at it too, but
Very good.
I understand if you're into the physical scriptures. But everyone needs to be looking at the scripture. You can have everyone with physical scriptures. You can have everyone with the Gospel Library app. You can also very easily print off scriptures on a little piece of paper so everyone can see it. Or if you have a PowerPoint, you can put it on a PowerPoint. Or you could just print off the verse for everyone to read if you have, like, especially primary kids that you're teaching or whatever. There are so many easy ways to make sure everyone has access to the words because our brains are so passive with comprehension when someone's reading. But if we have to read it, if we have to negotiate those words with our brain and ourselves, and if we can stop when we don't understand something and we go back and we read again, that's where the connection comes from. And if we're going to be referring back to these scriptures over and over, we've got to make sure that everyone has access to it in some way, shape, or form. So we're not going to pass out little pieces of paper to only one person that says that one verse and say, you read verse one and you read verse two. We're not going to do that because that helps no one. We're going to make sure everyone has access to the words of the scriptures in some way,
Follow
shape, or
along
form.
with your
Even if,
own.
yes, even if you have a poster that you've printed out, just a piece of paper. It doesn't even have to be that big, right? Just a piece of paper. Everyone then can access it if they choose, right? There's agency involved in this, but if they choose, they can read and follow along with the scriptures. We're not going to use 20 verse long passages to read. And I'll say the problem is that it's often because as I've done my own scripture study, I'm like, these 20 verses are amazing. And I like the spirit was flowing as we just went through this whole thing. And like, I love it so much, but it's really hard to then translate that into a classroom. Now it is possible. And Kevin, actually the format you talked about at the beginning, where you have someone who's just up there loving the scriptures and reading from the scriptures, that works if the teacher is really into it, and the teacher was probably reading a lot of the verses, is what I'm gonna guess, because they're just like, let me read it, right? It's part of their story. That totally works if you have a longer passage because you're the one who's controlling the pace. You're gonna stop and pause, you're gonna keep reading, you're gonna go on with this. But I think just little practical changes that we can do in some habits that have become very common and widespread because we think we're getting everyone involved and we're reading lots of scriptures. This is great. Actually, keep it a little slimmer. Have just one strong reader read it because you're already giving the purpose beforehand and you're already going to follow up with questions afterwards. So we don't need to pull all these tricks to get people involved in the reading of the scriptures.
That's good.
I
You
just,
know, they
amen.
there's there is a I heard this question and quote or quote, I don't know what you we what we would call it, this principle really years ago, and it translates into so many other parts of my life, and it actually translates here as well. You've written some books, so you kind of know how this works, but the thought is, what is the job of the first sentence of the book? And the job is to get you to want to read the second sentence of the book, right? And I almost kind of feel like what you're saying there to some degree is, if you're just going on and on and on and on, right? They have no thought, okay, where am I going? But you could almost break it up and say, here, let's read this one verse. And then all of a sudden that goes, well, wait a minute. That gets me thinking, well, you know what? Maybe the answer is in the second verse. And you really don't tell them how many verses you want to read. You just get them hungry for the next verse and then for the next verse. And they're following along with that, right? And you could be the one who's reading, or like you said, or have someone who's strong in reading. That's good. But there needs to be some kind of investment in wanting to be in the scriptures and read that verse themselves and be there to get something out of it rather than, like you said, being passive about it.
Yeah, and weirdly, like saying how many verses you're going to read, like you said, it puts an expiration date in everyone's brain. It's like when you're watching a YouTube video and you all of a sudden see how much is left and you're like, "Oh, this is a long video that I got to keep watching or whatever." But if you can't see the bar, you're a little more invested because you don't know when it's going to stop. Maybe it's just one more second. But if it's just, "Hey, we're going to read this verse and here's the purpose for this verse and we're going to talk about it." And you know what? Let's read this next verse. Let's see if that answer is there. It feels organic. Everyone is invested in it. And you could read 20 verses if you're doing that, if you're stopping and breaking it up and making it every single thing feel authentic. That is a fantastic way to go through it. But long chunks set off by themselves, that's not going to do it for
What a
most
great
people.
principle.
For me, it's not going to work for me. It's so
Doesn't.
funny though, because you talk about in getting everybody looking at the scriptures, and I think about all these classes that I've taught with youth, and I'm like, okay, take out your scriptures, and they take out their phone. And then you're like, okay, let's open up two. And then you see their thumbs and you're like, that's not how you look up the scriptures. Like, you can tell that they're texting and not looking at the scriptures. So I almost want to say, you guys, like, we know the strokes to get through Gospel Library app. We can tell if you're
following along. We're not so easily tricked.
Nope. So it might be a good idea when you're thinking, you know, 13. I want them on their phones when I'm with them because their phones are comfortable to them. And I want them learning how to navigate the resources. And I want them following along. But this doth not following along mean.
Yep. I think a good indication is if they're using their thumbs to follow along or their fingers to follow along. Right? If they're hitting with their
Digress. I did not mean to
digress. If they've turned their phone horizontal and they're just looking at it.
Right.
We know. We're smart. But anyway, okay, sorry. I did not mean to derail us. I just amen to what you said because it speaks to my brain. Like I do the counting thing and I'm like, oh, I'm not reading. Okay. Well, what if? Like I cannot focus long enough to hear it that way. I have to be following along. I have to. So love what you said.
Yeah. And it just builds that comprehension, that understanding when everyone's like, yeah, I get it. We're talking about it. It's a discussion. It feels real instead of, okay, my lesson plan says to read these 15 verses. So now we're going to read these 15 verses. Like anyone knows, okay, we're just doing this to do it. Like I'm not really bought in. Right. And so we can't hide that as a teacher of like, okay, and someone said to read these verses. Like we have to be feeling it ourselves and here's what I learned and make it part of the discussion, make it have meaning. Which kind of links me to my last point, which I've hinted to many times now, is we've got to do something after the scripture. We've got to have discussion. We've got to refer back to the scripture many times too. If it's just, we leave it and it's like, oh, that's how the Lord said to find peace. Awesome. Now let's watch this video about peace. Mm-hmm. And let's, you know, like we're just going off. Again, everyone can tell like, okay, we read our token scripture and we're moving on. But if it's, no, I'm going to keep coming back and we're going to go back to this verse again. And that's okay because you all have access to the verse, or I can hold up this poster or the PowerPoint that has the words of the verse on it if you don't have access to it. And we're going to talk about it and I'm going to keep going back to it because the scriptures are so important that this is what's anchoring my lesson and doctrine. And so I'm going to refer back to it. We're going to have discussion questions about it. We're going to, I'm going to watch a video, but then we're going to talk about how it connects back to the verse again. And we're going to talk about how the video helped expound on that doctrine. And I'm going to keep pointing back to the scriptures. And so I think what we do after we do the scripture, instead of like one and done, okay, I did it, let's move on to the more fun stuff. The more that we can refer back to the scriptures is just another way that we're pointing these kids or adults in our class to be like, the scriptures are really, really where it's at. And you can feel comfortable going back to them over and over again.
I have this thought has come up before, but I've never been able to kind of articulate it in my mind until you just went through that right there. I have this thought that when we say, here's a scripture, let's read it. That's nice. Did you learn something? Great. Let's move on. And that's it. And it's real quick. I think we unintentionally cheapen the value of the scriptures in their mind. And we say, scriptures are important. You can learn something from them. Let's move on. No, the scriptures are not to just be moved on from. They are to, and I love your overall thought of, they are to comprehend. And that is a different perspective than I've ever really thought about it before, I think. Is to really try to comprehend the scriptures. That's twisting my mind up a little bit. I thought, okay, yeah, we want to understand the scriptures. We want to try to learn them. But this word of comprehend, I love, love, love that. But I think if we don't dive into it like that, we kind of cheapen the scriptures. I mean, am I off on that a little at all?
No, I think you're totally on it. And I feel like at some level, we're modeling effective scripture study.
Yes,
because
exactly.
There's so many kids who, you know, go off to college and they're just like, I don't know how to study the scriptures. I just read it and I don't really know what I'm getting out of it. But when we're teaching, we're actually studying the scriptures with them, or we're at least revealing what we did when we studied the scriptures. And so we're modeling, like, I'm thinking, I'm stopping and pondering about scriptures. I'm asking questions about scriptures. I'm going back to the scriptures. And so I feel like that's kind of the other aspect of it, is like, let's model scripture study in our classes so that everyone can just kind of learn and feel more comfortable with going back to them, instead of, here's a lesson about faith. Okay, let's read a scripture about faith, but it's really a lesson about faith. It's like, no, it's about the scriptures, which are about faith in Jesus Christ. Like, let's point it back to the scriptures.
That's good.
It is. I have two thoughts. I feel like part of why we joke about some of these things, you know, like, oh, do the, you know, popcorn strategy, or the, you know, every person in the row reads it. Part of why we joke about it and we think it's funny is because that's how it was growing up for most of us, right?
Right.
And I've confessed this before, but I really didn't understand how to study the scriptures when I was younger. And, you know, you just mentioned then the kids go to college and they don't really know how to study. Me, for sure. I mean, I had one of the most phenomenal Book of Mormon teachers in, like, hands down at BYU. And I didn't even appreciate that class because I didn't really understand how to study the scriptures and how to find meaning in them at that point in my life. And I think that you're nailing one of our responsibilities is to try and inspire good study habits in these kids by modeling those good study habits and how we approach the discussion in the classroom. And I think that one of the things that you just said that it sparked an idea, tell me if this is whatever, but one way that we could hold ourselves accountable for going back to those scriptures and making them the kind of ping point that we're like, we read the scripture, but then we like ping it over and over, is to have kind of an anchor scripture for our lesson. So instead of having like a principle that we're trying to teach and having that be our focus and say, this is what we're talking about today, have an anchor scripture that illustrates that principle, so that regardless of how we teach the principle, the anchor point isn't the principle itself. It's the scripture that illustrates it. So just a practical idea might be holding yourself accountable for finding an anchor scripture for the lesson.
That's fantastic.
Just a thought.
I love, and we've talked about this kind of more casually before, and this actually might be a good idea for a future episode, but how do you model scripture study in your lesson? Kelly, that's the one of my favorite things to actually do, is to do that right there, so that they, because I feel like it's good to learn the scriptures, 100%. It's good to learn about Jesus Christ, but if you can't do it without me here, that's a problem. You need to be able to do it on your own and want to do it and love to do it and then know how to do it. I think we can, I think that there's almost a double purpose that we can add there, is let's learn about the Savior in the scriptures, but also teach you how to do it yourself so that you can leave here today and go do that. I love that, Kelly.
I think that's awesome. And I think about,
no, you go first. I'm so sorry. The pause sometimes throws me because my brain's going.
I know, so sorry. Well, I was just going to say, like, with our new first presidency, a lot of the messages, like their first messages were like, you've got to have the Spirit with you. You've got to have the Spirit with you and know how to receive revelation. And to me, hands down, being in the scriptures is a way I know that I can invite the Spirit into my life. And I have become familiar with the pattern of revelation in the scriptures. And so if we can get our youth and even other adults in the wards that we're in to be like, I am grounded in the scriptures because they bring the Spirit and they allow me to receive personal revelation, I think there's not much more important jobs we could be doing at this
Agreed.
Point. I loved what you said, Kevin, about like the double purpose. That really is very important.
Right. Oh, I love that you brought it back to the emphasis of our new first presidency already, like that you're thinking all of that through. Okay. So I kind of want to take, because you said you had these four, right? So I'm not stopping you from making one more point. Okay.
This is the
So I'm looking, And this is awesome. And it's meaty and it's easy for someone to take and say, okay, let me think about how I might apply this. So I'm looking through my list because I've been taking notes while you've been talking. And I'm thinking a little bit about what you're doing with the 1 minute scripture study. And what that I'm sensing, tell me if I'm wrong, that is an effort for you to find simplicity on the far side of complexity. So you kind of, in order to say, here is what you can do in this 1 minute, in order for it to be meaty, you're not just, you know, taking a scripture and saying, oh, let me build a little mini lesson around it. But instead you're saying, let's think about, you know, the whole block of scripture, or let's think about, you know, First Nephi as a whole and some of the messages of Nephi. And then you're going to, okay, in First Nephi chapter 3, verse 7, this is why this scripture is so meaty. And for your 1 minute scripture study, is that kind of what you had to do? Like, how did you come to that? How do you take this into 1 minute? I'm curious about that.
Yeah, for me, it came from seeing so many people overwhelmed and feeling a little bit of unnecessary guilt for what they weren't doing in their scripture study. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I'm not doing it right, or I'm not doing it at all, or I'm reading for 10 minutes, but I don't know what is actually happening here. And so what I did was like, okay, what are the most important parts of scripture study? Just like on my worst day possible, busiest day, the kids have been, I've been up all night and, you know, it's just mass chaos over here. I have young kids right now, so there's a lot of chaos. And I want to be obedient and read my scriptures, and it's the end of a long day and I haven't done it yet. What am I actually trying to do? And I kind of distilled it down into, well, I want to read directly from the Word of God. So I want to read a scripture, and sometimes it's just a scripture. And then I want to think about how it applies to my life. Like some sort of invite the Spirit to just teach me something from that verse. And I feel like if I bring enough faith to the table, especially at the end of those worst days, and I say, I can give you a scripture tonight, and I'm looking for some peace, or I'm looking for some joy, or I'm looking for some relief, or whatever it is that I'm looking for, I can give you one verse. And Heavenly Father knows when I'm being authentic about that. And then I give that to him. It is beautiful. The revelation that has occurred from me reading one verse with sincere intent. And so that's where this kind of came from, was like, I can share one verse with sincere intent and share a real story or application or just extra thoughts about it. And what I hope it does is it encourages other people to be like, I can do it with one verse. I can do it in 1 minute. Right. And once you see you can do it in 1 minute, you don't want to do it in 1 minute anymore. You want to spend 20 minutes or 30 minutes. Like, you want to have more time, but you also know on your worst days, it is possible to still do it in 1 minute. And sometimes just by getting that spark of like, we always leave with a takeaway of the day in 5 words or less. Because I feel like having sometimes even a minute is just like, okay, but what do I take away from that? But it's like, okay, here's my takeaway of like, what did I listen to today? It was like, small things matter.
Out of small things proceed at that, which is great. Or
yeah, I'm trying to think of my takeaway.
I thought you were talking about.
I know I'm not quoting anything, but it was just like, small things matter or something like that. And then I talked about that with my kids on the way to school. It was like, hey, you know what? The small things matter. And when I saw you reading your scriptures in your bed the other day, that made my heart so happy, because I know that that is a small thing you're doing and it matters. And when I saw you say your prayers the other day, I knew that is just a small thing and that matters so much. And it's so good to want to do all these big projects, but really it's the small stuff you're doing every day that matters. And that was like the last thing I said to them before they all got out of the car to go to school. And I'm just like, you know what? I think that's what scripture study is really about. And so that's my message, is like, we can do it, but we've got to really love these scriptures and believe that they are the answer. And if we believe that, I think it changes how we talk about them, how we teach about them, how we teach our family about them, how we study them. Like, it changes so much when we're like, I'm empowered to be in here. I feel like I get what's going on and I know answers will come for my own real messy life right now by being in the scriptures.
You
Okay, so
know,
I just have to say, I think that was for me, though. So thank you
oh.
for what you just said. Like, I really do. It's one of those things I'm really wrestling with something personally right now. And it's like the mom guilt about what I'm not doing for my kids and what I'm not doing with, my own scripture study and what I'm not doing. And so here I was intellectualizing your process for distilling it down to a single scripture and like, are you looking for simplicity on the far side of complexity? And you're like, no. I literally am looking for a way for people to feel the spirit. I'm looking for a way for people to feel more connected to Heavenly Father. And we do that through the scriptures. We know that's where it's at. And so taking away that, overwhelming feeling and saying that doesn't have a time stamp on it. That doesn't require, X number of minutes in the scriptures. It requires the effort, and you can find the power in that. So thank you for saying what you said. I feel like you were talking to me.
Thank you.
That is wonderful. All right. So as we wrap up, you may have just actually answered the question that I was about to ask. So you may refer back to that again, but what is the one thing that you wish all gospel teachers knew?
I'm going to go a little bit of a different direction, but I
Okay.
wish all gospel teachers knew that the Lord wants them to do their best with the spiritual gifts that they have. And we can always work to improve our teaching abilities. Some people have the gift of teaching as a spiritual gift, and some people, that's not a gift that's strong. That's a gift that comes with a lot of work and a lot of effort. And the coolest thing that I love about callings in this church is that Heavenly Father is like, let's just do it, you guys. Let's just get everyone involved. And you are going to be so blessed for jumping in and doing your best, even if you do popcorn reading sometimes, or even if you've done, you're like not being the most effective all the time. You are going to be the best for the people that you've been called to serve. For whatever reason, that dynamic is exactly what needs to happen right now. And I think that that is so beautiful. And like, I can't even comprehend how amazing that is. And so, if you can just think, like, I am here for a purpose, and I might not understand that purpose, but I know that if I just do my best and I try to improve a little bit in my skills each day, God will make miracles happen with my little offering of my will if we are truly sincere with what we're giving.
Beautiful. Love it.
Awesome.
Love it. Thank you. Now, Kelly, if you would tell us how others can connect with you.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram most often, so come follow me at Come Follow Me Study. Or you can listen to the 1 Minute Scripture Study podcast. It's great for adults, but also kids and teens to just get that little dose of the scriptures and a spiritual thought every day.
It's been wonderful having you on, Kelly. This has
Thanks for
been
having me.
A lot of things for me to think about. Took a lot of notes. Julie, you took some notes, I can see as well. Yeah,
I
that
got my
was.
whole paper.
There you go. I love it. Thanks, Kelly. And if for those listening and watching, if you would share this with others, help them learn how to dive into the scriptures as well. Thanks again, and we'll see everyone next time. Bye, everyone.
Thanks.